Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 240 of Nerd Pride Radio. 240. Researchers recently announced the discovery of 240 cubic miles of magma underneath the Long Valley Caldera in Yosemite National Park in California. The caldera is 20 miles long, 11 miles wide, 3,000 feet deep, coming up to a grand total of 240 cubic miles of magma. Now, to put that in terms that are more relatable, 240 cubic miles of magma is almost exactly 1 trillion Minecraft lava blocks. A trillion! Oh, wait, you need more relatable than that? Okay, take those trillion Minecraft lava blocks and lay them end to end, and then bend them into a giant circle. They'd make a loop roughly the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. Okay, that's as relatable as I could make it, but pretty cool. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
Great timing, Lisa. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pred studios in the Room of Requirement. All right, before we start anything, what do we got? That's right, it's time for a little feedback. Actually, I don't have it in front of me here, but it was a note that came from Kyle, and it was about Aiden's movie reviews last week. And so I went to Aiden and I said, "Hey, Aiden, guess what? Your uncle gave you some feedback on your movie reviews." And he went, "Oh God, all right, what?" I'm like, "Wait, what? He's like, I just read it." All right. So I read it off and it's like, "Hey," he says, "you did really good." He says he completely agrees with everything you said. And oh, the relief on his face was just, he idolizes his uncle when it comes to horror movies. He really respects your opinion, Kyle. So, he was so glad to know that he was right on. It's as if he's finally doing it right. There you go. Anyway, enough of that. It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, you know, God, I got through whatever's been on my mind for the last week without stumbling at all because, I was working on that one. I was focusing. That's where I stumble every time. Every time. And I get through it and then I immediately trip over the very next sentence. Terrible. Something strikes me as interesting. There it is. Interesting during the course of my busy week. I add it to my master list. The very best off of I'm not even going to be able to do this today. The best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. There. So, right into it. We're going to start with the science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. All right, first up, because I actually have like a couple of things here, but the first of them is, did you know that bloodhounds can scent, they can smell who last touched a pipe bomb after the pipe bomb has exploded? Like literally they can go into the wreckage. They can smell the pieces of the pipe bomb that are left over, the fragments. And then if you've got the subject there, yeah, they can identify who it was that was handling that. That's amazing to me. All right. That was some podcast, and they were asked their favorite interesting fact about animals. And that was one. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a winner. Oh, I love that. But I think same podcast. I think it was Infinite Monkey Cage. But I don't remember for sure. They were talking about prairie dog communication. They were talking about animal communication in general. But they talked about prairie dog communication. And I was just floored, absolutely floored, because prairie dogs will, if there's danger approaching the group, the warren, as it were, then prairie dogs will stand up and they'll give a warning cry to let people know that there are invaders, predators, something on its way. And so some guy, some scientist, said, you know, it sounds like the cries are not all the same when they do this. And he says he doesn't think it's, you know, from individual to individual. He thinks like each specific different sound has actual meaning. And so he goes to break it down. And so by watching groups of prairie dogs for over time and matching it up to, okay, here's the cry I'm hearing, here's what's approaching, very difficult for human ears to sort out, but, you know, he runs it through the machines, he analyzes it, and was able to sort out different cries for different types of predators. So they can announce, you know, oh my god, red-tailed hawk, or oh my god, coyotes, or I assume every prairie dog message starts with, oh my god, so, you know, or humans, or domestic dogs, or whatever it is. And it had, the prairie dog groups had different cries for each different type of thing that might be approaching that could be a danger to the colony. And so then he took it further and said, okay, well, you know what? I think there might be some variation even within different groups. It's not always exactly the same. So yes, sure, it says, you know, humans are coming, but, you know, they have some more variants. I wonder if that variance has any particular meaning as well. So they break that one down. And by doing a bunch of different trials where they had different types of animals or people or whatever approach and then record those, they came up with, yeah, they can tell you, you know, not only what type of predator it is, but is it a large one or a small one for its size? Is it, what color is it? What, so, like, it's not just human coming. It's, hey, it's a tall human in a blue shirt. Like, they could do that. That's amazing. And if humans had guns with them, visible guns, the prairie dogs would recognize that, and there'd be a little addendum at the end that said, you know, big human, blue shirt, oh, with a gun. And, because over time, they've learned that, you know, the presence or absence of a gun makes a huge difference in how that human can affect the colony, and therefore, they'll point it out if the gun is available. But like crows, they remember you. So if a human shows up with a gun, and they give the whole description, and they add that with a gun to the end of it, same human goes away, comes back 2 weeks later, and he's not carrying a gun this time, but they remember who you are. They give a description of the human approaching and then also add in, oh yeah, with a gun, even if you're not carrying it this time because, well, you've had one before. So, we remember that you have that added danger about you. And I just thought that was all cool. I just, like I said, this is a little bit. I'm not going to, go any further with it. I just thought it was really amazing that, the level of communication, between animals, it just floors me every time. I mean, you know, from chimps and Coco, the sign language gorilla, and dolphins and crows, and all the way down to, I mean, these are prairie dogs. It is, you know, something about sophisticated social systems that often require this level of complicated communication to go with it. And it's just, I find it interesting, fascinating. So there was that one. And then there was, another, I think it was also an Infinite Monkey Cage episode, so I'm just going to steal all of my science corners from them from now on because they're fascinating. But they were talking about big data, and they were talking about the good and the bad of big data. And so on the good side, they were talking about a guy who was studying insects, is studying insects, and he has been gathering data from all over the world, and having people contribute to this database that he has. But he's gathering recordings from everywhere he can get them on the sounds of insects. Specifically, he wants to be able to identify insects by their wing beats. So just, you know, he can train a laser out on them, and from that, he gets the sound of their wing beats, and then he can tell you what species of insect it is, often whether it's male or female. Since he was focusing on mosquitoes, he can tell you if it's a mosquito that has recently fed or not, etc., etc. All sorts of interesting information just from listening to the wings of the insect. And thus, he builds this into a database where he can now create a portal of sorts, a doorway that any insect passing through here, the lasers will train on them, identify them, and then record the information so you know just by, you know, getting a laser grid across here. He can now identify all the insects that travel in either direction going through this area. And even more specifically, if we get down to it, we can even target it down to now, oh, hey, look, there's, you know, 40 different species of mosquitoes around here, but these are the only three that actually carry disease, that are actually vectors for diseases we're worried about. And only the females have to be, are a bother. So therefore, as they're passing through, the lasers can identify them as they come by and just zap the females out of the air. And that's it. Like, how amazing would that be? And that's, now he hasn't gotten as far as the actual zapping portion, but that's the next step. And I just thought, how cool is that? And I mean, and Yancey was, we were talking about this in the office, and he was just, super excited. He says, oh God, imagine the applications of this to all sorts of different kinds of animals. He says, imagine if you've got the radar or sonar system that can be identifying fish that pass through an area. You know, using the same sort of technology, the same kind of pattern recognition, and now it can identify fish coming through an area and, you know, only wind up, zapping or capturing or whatever it is it's going to do, just the Asian carp, just the invasive species that are ruining the ecosystem in this area. And you only stop them, but everybody else gets to go free. How cool would that be? So that was, because Asian carp are big on his list of annoyances because they do clog up a lot of his favorite fishing holes. So, just fascinating. Now, on the bad side of big data, and I, you know, we can all think of great examples of big data being used for evil, but very specifically, the nation of China, because they have issued national ID cards with pictures on them to all citizens, and they've made it mandatory, and they can collect all sorts of data because they're a more totalitarian regime than our nation. They can collect all sorts of data on their people, whether they like it or not. So they've got the IDs, they've got the photos, they've got all this. And so therefore, they've got better facial recognition technology than just about anybody in the world. And what this means is, if you go to public toilets in China, in some areas, they do facial recognition on you on your way into the toilet. And then, while you're in there, you are allowed 60 centimeters worth of toilet paper. And then that's it. And then, if you leave, and you come back, if they recognize, if the toilet recognizes your face returning within 9 minutes, it locks down all the toilet paper and you're not allowed to take any. Because you were just here. You're not allowed any more toilet paper. And my thought, I mean, oh my God. Like, how Big Brother is that? How paranoia is that? How the idea that, like, you know, that's just public toilets just recognizing people coming in and out, and it doesn't even necessarily mean that it's feeding that information to somewhere else, although it probably is. But imagine that the toilets in your workplace followed the same logic, and thus imagine that it showed up on your performance review at the end of the year that, you know, well, you know, we notice that you're spending, you know, X amount of time on breaks, X amount of time in the restroom, which is, you know, it's not excessive, but it is a little on the high side. But more worrisome is the fact that you use an awful lot of toilet paper when you're in there. And it seems to be a real waste of company resources. Do you have some justification? Is there a medical need for that? Is there God, imagine that. Because they could. They've got all the tools to implement that right now. And if someone decided that that was how they were going to save on resources, that's how they're going to, I mean, listen, oh my God, listen to Sayer. Sayer is back. The podcast Sayer, the very, Big Brother-like, paranoia-like, podcast about a computer named Sayer who runs, everyone living in this space station, in the future. And it's, anyway. It's very much like that. It feels so, so futuristic, and yet it's here. They're already doing it. It's just creepy to me. So, anyway, that was yet another story to share. That's it for the Science Corner, though. I think, what are we gonna do now? Hey, science fiction double feature.
Science fiction double feature!
That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low price. Now, does it really count as two for the price of one if one of them's a review I've already done before? That's right. I told you guys I was going to watch Monster Trucks again, and so I did. And it was me and Aiden and Noah, and we tried to get Eli to watch, but he was in a mood, so he went off to do other things and left us to our devices. But I am telling you, we had a blast. Monster Trucks is an awesome film. The hero's journey from beginning to end, it maps out the hero's journey perfectly. Noah. All right. The last half hour of this film, Noah actually stood up and cheered on like three or four occasions because it's just cool. It's just cool to watch. Yeah. Look, you know the premise. All right. It's monsters inside of trucks, thus Monster Trucks. And I can't tell you, it is just such a happy family Disney movie, the likes of which we haven't had for several decades. And just a very simplistic good versus evil. I mean, it's very clear who the bad guys are. And it's just joyous. It's well constructed. They actually, And I know I said this in my last review of it, but I was actually watching more closely for it this time. That, and even Noah pointed out, he's like, hey, they totally set that up for us. Like, the idea that the monsters can do X. It's like, yeah. And they had a whole scene earlier where that's kind of set up for you so that when we find out that they can do it later. It's like, oh yeah, of course they can. We already saw this. Like, there's good reasons for it. They tried to come up with, plausible biological reasons for why these creatures that have been living this far under the earth, why they would be constructed this way, why they would have this sort of metabolism, these sorts of abilities. It's really cool. I love the entire thing. That was super charming. We had an awesome time. And I will tell you, Barry Pepper plays, his stepdad, the kid's stepdad in this movie. And I love Barry Pepper in anything. And he is just, he's phenomenal. His character, oh man, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to give anything away. And Tom Lennon. I also love Tom Lennon in this. Tom Lennon, who is from, Sheriff Dingle from, Reno 911. He was also from The State. He is one of the guys who wrote, Night at the Museum. I like Tom Lennon. He's a very, very funny guy. And in this movie in particular, again, I thought he did a great job. He was one of my heroes. I loved him. So, you know what? If you haven't watched Monster Trucks, I don't know what else I can do. Oh, wait, no, I do know what else I can do. I'm going to watch it again next year, and we'll review it then. You guys are going to keep hearing this every single year until you've all seen it. So, I love Monster Trucks. It was good. And now we've discovered that not only does it hold up to a repeat viewing, but Noah loves it too. And so he's going to join us in watching this on a regular basis because I love Monster Trucks. All right. But the second movie, on a slightly more serious note, second movie, we just went last night to go see Crazy Rich Asians. And I got to tell you, I was so charmed. I was so charmed by this movie. I thought it was incredibly well constructed. I knew going into it what was going to happen. I even said after the last couple times we saw the trailers for it, it's like I know exactly what this movie is. It's a romantic comedy, and it's going to have these beats in it. And here's how, I mean, they've shown us half the climax already just watching the trailers. And it's like, yeah, you know exactly how it's going to turn out. And yet, I don't care. I was so wanted to see this film anyway. And yeah, it was just dead on. It was just a really good film, well constructed. And it was, very interesting that I saw someone point out that, you know, films, written by, produced by, and, you know, written for, about Americanized Asians are just so few and far between. And, you know, they listed, you know, Memoirs of a Geisha and Joy Luck Club and this movie. And I'm like, how do they leave out Harold and Kumar? How do you skip? I mean, those were mainstream films for eight. All right. Anyway. But they're right. It is just not a, you know, and sadly for them, that like Wonder Woman has to come out and it is as if the fate of all female superheroes rides on the success or failure of Wonder Woman. Male superheroes can have all the Green Lanterns and Fantastic Fours they want, but you get a female-led movie in Wonder Woman, and now suddenly, oh yeah, you know what, if Wonder Woman doesn't make it, I guess that's it for the female superhero genre. Well, that's where Crazy Rich Asians is that, man, this movie really better perform, or else, you know, maybe Asians just aren't going to get another chance. Ah, see, we told you Asians couldn't carry a film. And it turns out, no, they totally can. And it was amazing. So good for them. This couple, that starred in it, Constance Wu stars as Rachel, the female lead. And I don't remember the name of the guy who plays Nick, but both of them are just hot. Oh my God. This was, just an amazing couple to watch in action. They were very believable they were just completely and totally in love and supportive and wonderful. And, obviously the conflict is with his family and it was just well done. His mom was played brilliantly by Michelle Yee, who I think, amazing actress. And she was just this powerhouse. She was, the opening scene of the movie sets us up for her to earn our respect right from the get-go. Even though she's, you know, technically the bad guy here, we understand why. And it was, yes, this movie is, again, it was a really well-constructed hero's journey, just in romantic comedy form. And so, yes, it's about Rachel, and it's about her coming into her own and standing up for herself and doing the right thing. And it was really amazing. All right, you want, again, to watch the whole up and down of it was really amazing. But more than that, it was also about her future mother-in-law, hopefully future mother-in-law. It's about Nick's mom and her own struggle and why she's doing what she's doing and how she's going to come to terms with all of it. It was beautiful. It was great. And also afterwards, I did a little research because Michelle Yee, it's like I know the name and I'm trying to remember what things I've seen her in before. And it turns out, oh God, she was the female lead in, Crouching Tiger. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you know, 25, almost 30 years ago. Was that? No, it was about 25 years ago. So she was the lead in that. So she's like an action star and a badass. And in fact, one of the trivia, this is just IMDb, so take it with a grain of salt, but one of the trivia things on her IMDb page was, that she is the only female co-star that Jackie Chan ever allowed to do her own stunts in his films. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, again, total badass. And it was just really good. And it's, you know, there was just so many people in it, that you recognize. Ronnie Chang. And he's like a Australian stand-up comedian. But he's also a Daily Show correspondent and all this. I love Ronnie Chang. I've been watching him for a while. And suddenly Ronnie Chang's in there. And, Dr. Ken from Community is in there, or from the Hangover movies, if that's where you know him from. So Awkwafina was over the top and it was really cool. I just had a good time. We really enjoyed this film, had a lot of fun watching it. and I highly recommend it. So, I was hoping it would perform a little bit better. Don't get me wrong. It performed spectacularly at the box office this weekend. It was breaking all of the expectations for it. So it's doing way better than the studios thought it would. And therefore it's doing great, but I bet on it going a little bit higher in our pool, on the website this week. And, I took a gamble and yeah, I don't regret it because I still love this movie. But, oh man, if it could have done an extra couple million, it really would have helped me out in this week's competition. But oh well, it still did great. So, there you go. Two high recommends from me. Go see Monster Trucks, because it's available on Amazon Prime and on Hulu right now. You don't have to do anything. Just go turn on your TV and it's there. And then also go spend a little money and watch Crazy Rich Asians while it's still in the theaters, because it's a joy. It's just an absolute joy. It's a very feel-good movie, and I loved it. Loved every moment. So, there you go. What do we got next? Nothing big.
Fingertips.
See, it's just fingertips. It's all that stuff that builds up on my master list that I'm just too lazy to build into a full-size topic. But I'll talk about it here. My wife just reminded me this weekend of while we were in Nova Scotia on our vacation, we were driving along the highway, and we're coming around the corner, and there is an old couple on the side of the road. I would put them, you know, well into their 70s. And they are walking along the side of the highway, and the old man is up walking along the top edge of the guardrail. So, and I mean, you know, the guardrail's only like, you know, a couple feet high or so. But he's up on the metal guardrail. He's walking on the guardrail, balancing there, and walking across it like a little kid while his wife holds his hand, from down below to make sure he doesn't lose his balance. And they were just friggin' adorable. Oh my God. It was like, yeah, we both just fell in love with that couple at that moment, because it's like, that's who you want to be when you get to be that age. We absolutely want to be that. So a couple that has that much fun, they're just walking and he decides to get up on the rail and he's going to do it. So off he goes and she's there to support him. I just thought that was spectacular. How cool. So, all right. That's one. All right. Next thing on my fingertips list is, why can't I get fast internet? Did I complain about this last week? Oh, it's not enough for a nerd rage, because I get it. But, you know, my son lives in a big city now, a bigger city, at least a city large enough to have competition. And so he gets 300 megabits per second of internet speed for $65 a month, whereas I get advertised 150, in reality about 100. So I get a third of his speed, and I'm paying $85 a month. There's no justice in this world. None. I swear. He has fiber, literally fiber optic cable running directly into his apartment. Oh, God, cable one out here. We got the, oh yeah, they have the big fiber trunks that they put in. They bragged about that. Had extra fees that went with it and the whole business, but they're still running copper to my house. So, oh, darn it. Why can't I get some competition? Why can't I get that speed? And I mean, Jacob, like every couple of days, he has to send me a screenshot of his internet speeds to go, oh wow, I can't believe it's 300 download and a 300 upload. Is that crazy or what? Like, oh God, 300 upload. I can't even imagine getting 50 on upload. That's crazy. All right. And then the other night, to cap it off, he's like, all right, now I'm just getting pissed. You know what? They promised me 300. And look at this. And so he sends me the screenshot. It's like 320. It's like, no, just shut up. Just quit teasing your old man with it. But he thinks he's funny. So, let's see. As long as I'm at it, I didn't have this written down, but it goes right along the same vein. We were running over our data because of our vacation and with Jacob moving and with, there was just a bunch of stuff going on. And it all kind of, this perfect storm that we were over our data on our phones. And so we moved to unlimited data. It's an extra $5 a phone. And so we moved to unlimited data, and then that way we don't have to pay anything extra for the month. They were willing to go retroactive and cover the whole month with it. Because we were up to like over $100 worth of overage charges, and it was just going to keep growing. We weren't even done. And so we went with the unlimited data. no problem. And when you switch over to unlimited data on Verizon, they have 3 unlimited packages. Like, there's the basic unlimited, but then there's, you know, our better unlimited. Because, well, with basic unlimited, look, during peak times, you may be a little bit slower. You may notice a little slowness during peak times, which, you know, back when we were on limited data and we have to pay $15 per gig every time we go over, oh, they were giving us great fast data on that one. They will feed it to us as fast as we're willing to pay them for it. But now we've switched to unlimited and you might notice a little slowness. Oh, criminy. I cannot believe that, yeah, it's like, sir, during some peak times or especially when we travel to a smaller town, all of a sudden, just everything just disappears. It's just like, I might as well be on dial-up at this point. But, you know, I could certainly go to the slightly faster unlimited and pay an extra $10 a month per phone, and my slightly faster unlimited will then not choke me off there. But then there's even a third level. There's a higher level than that where, you know, hey, if you want guaranteed that you can do your HD streaming all the time, then we'll give you a level that guarantees that. But this is what Verizon came up with right after net neutrality got booted. That's what's going on, is that as soon as net neutrality was out, Verizon was already ready with their pricing scheme where, yeah, you know what? You want your stuff, then that's fine, but you're going to have to pay a lot extra for it. Ah, it's a shame. A shame. And this is, and look, and this is just the minor effects. These are the noticeable obvious effects, on the receiving end here of the defeat of net neutrality, as opposed to, you know, what can be going on behind the scenes where they're making deals and it's going to mean that Netflix costs extra, or it's going to mean that, you know, there's all sorts of things that can go with it. But you know what? That's not important right now. What is important is the Naked Gun movies. So, now, you've seen the Naked Gun movies, I assume. Lieutenant Frank Drebin, it's police stuff, it's all super stupid comedy from the people who brought you Airplane. And the Naked Gun movies, super funny, they did really well. But originally they came from the TV show Police Squad. And me and my family watched every episode of Police Squad as it aired. And I mean, from episode 1, we thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen. This was, the Airplane movies had already been out. We knew this was a TV show from those guys. And we thought it was the funniest TV show ever. And it was canceled after 4 episodes. There were only 6 episodes ever recorded. And of those 6, only 4 of them ever made it to air. And we saw all of them. They got canceled. And why? Why would they cancel them? This is the thing. And at the time, what I heard from the talk from my parents and their friends was that it had been canceled because audiences weren't responding to it, because it was a comedy show with no laugh track. And therefore, audiences didn't know where to laugh, and therefore, it just didn't do very well. And we all thought that was the stupidest damn thing we ever heard in our lives, because it was hysterical. How could you not, how can you be so dumb as to, you need a laugh track to tell you where to laugh, otherwise you don't know what's funny? That is not possible. And yet, the show was gone. And it turns out that, yeah, if you look back, the official explanation that came out of out of CBS, I think they were on CBS, the official explanation that came from CBS at the time was that, yeah, it was poor audience response. But now, and this is all from some guy on YouTube who claims that he did the research, and I don't know him, but I know that he claims to have done the research, so I trust him. But he said in doing the research on it, you find where people eventually, reporters, television reporters, wound up confronting CBS executives about this and saying, poor audience response, it did great in the ratings, it was highly reviewed, people loved it, as far as we can tell. It seemed to be a hit. What's the real reason? And it turns out the real reason is some executive felt that the show just wasn't going to work out because the jokes came too fast. and he what they were afraid of is that the jokes were coming too fast. It's like you're already laughing at these jokes, and you wind up missing a joke or two because you haven't even finished processing the last one. And they were afraid that this would be too confusing for American audiences. Oh yeah, sure, we get it, and we know the critics like it, but you know, is the average American really going to want to watch this? Is there really going? And that's honestly the reason that they took it off, is that they felt it might be a little too much. Again, stupidest damn thing ever. And as witnessed by the fact that, okay, that's fine, so they got canceled, what'd they do with it? Well, they took it and they made the Naked Gun movies. And they made three of them, and the three Naked Gun films, altogether, made $200 million. You want to adjust that for inflation? In today's money, you're talking, those things made $500 million for those three little comedy movies. And that, like CBS could have had four seasons of this crap. They could have had this going forever. And people loved it. I mean, loved it enough to make it $500 million movie franchise. That's how much they loved it. So, God, just stupidity. I swear. So, and again, if you have never seen the original Police Squad, it's worth your time. You absolutely need to go look it up. It still holds up. If you want to watch the Naked Gun movies, that's awesome. The first one features O.J. Simpson, so some people have a little problem. Or was it the first one or was it the second one? Which one has O.J. Simpson in it? Oh, maybe both of them did. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So some people have a little problem with that because he's in them. But also, if you're into that style of humor, then go watch Angie Tribeca. Angie Tribeca is, I believe, on Hulu right now. And there's like two seasons out, three seasons out. And Angie Tribeca is that same style of humor. It's a police procedural setting and with the exact same style of comedy, same sort of setups. And it's really, really funny. So, you know, if you're into that sort of stuff, go check it out. All right, what else do I have here? Ooh. All right, I'm going to save this one. I should put this back on the master list because I had a complaint, but I really want Aiden to be here to help address this complaint with me. So I'm just going to tease you guys with it, and we'll bring it up for next time. So, and so with that, you know what? I'm going to call it there. That's the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. That means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. It's Pod-O-Matic, about whatever you want it to be. Oh, and last week, we finally used up enough Ronster stuff that I had to add one more Ronster to the mix just to keep it balanced. I've got a bunch of entries here, and the first one is number 31, and that comes from Talvin. And Talvin says, robotic vacuum cleaners. Good idea, or just another step towards recognizing our robotic overlords? Robotic vacuum cleaners are a fine idea. They need a little work. They make great rides for cats. On the other hand, if you do have animals in your house, this happened to family of family, and it actually ran over a dog turd. The dog pooped on the carpet while they were gone, and then the Roomba got out there and ate it and just ran it all over their carpet. I mean, the entire living room was just covered. It was everywhere. So, you know, there's some good, there's some bad. Things happen. But more than the robotic vacuum cleaner, I really want to have the robotic lawnmower. The one that's got a little cubby hole underneath your house where it charges up. And then, you know, every couple of days, it just runs itself out and does a quick skim over the entire lawn and then parks itself again. And just all electric, works exactly like a Roomba. You set up the little guidelines for the yard and where it needs to mow around trees and hit the fence line and all of this stuff. And it just comes out and it just keeps everything just nice and neat for you. You know, I don't know what kind of liability there is when you have a robotic blade of whirling death scurrying across your lawn when you might not even be there. Oh man, that does sound cool, doesn't it? Oh. Number 34. 34 is from Mrs. Darks. All right. Oh, Mrs. Darks says, this is an interesting one, bed, wed, or behead, magenta, Janet, Columbia. Magenta, Janet, Columbia. This is a tough one. Because I think I am going to have to marry Janet because the other two are batshit insane. Magenta's just over the top. And I don't know. Columbia seems a little imbalanced is my thought. So you got to marry Janet, or at least I do. And then, I think I would do the, Bed Columbia. I think I've always had a thing for her. Ever since I first saw the movie, she was my favorite. So I would Bed Columbia, wed Janet, behead Magenta. There you go. 44. 44 comes from. If I knew how a scroll bar worked, I would tell you. Ah, there it is. It's from Talvin again. Talvin says, autumn or fall? Which do you prefer? Let's see. Okay, I was going to make a joke about which season I preferred, and I was going to go on and describe all the good qualities of autumn and all the bad qualities of fall. But I get what your actual question is. And so rather than stumbling around over that one, I usually call it fall, although I guess I don't really care. I don't think I normally say autumn when I describe the season. I'm pretty sure I always say fall, but I could see myself using autumn. I don't care. Either one's fine. They're awesome. It's a great season too. It's just who doesn't love fall? Who doesn't love except for people with their hands up over there because they have to go back to school in the fall. I can see why that would be upsetting. Okay, good point. But the weather is so nice. It's, you know, you can wear the jacket or not wear the jacket. You can it's not blazing hot, it's not freezing cold. Yeah. But I've already rolled. And I have a 77. And that 77 comes from... Oh, wait, hold on. Let me number this one. That was Talvin. All right. And then 77 comes from Talvin again. Wow. Way to rock the boards this time, Talvin. Talvin says, what is the best kind of house pet? My cat Bear. That's it. Look, there's lots of other good cats out there, so, you know, you could have another good cat if you wanted, but Bear is the best. Birds are pretty cool, but, you know, they've got some mess issues, and they're very needy and prone to certain issues. And dogs, again, needy. Oh, you know, they're not bad, but my son's hedgehog, Miles is pretty awesome as a house pet, but I would not be able to put in the intense level of work that he does, or I would be afraid of screwing it up if I tried. So, no. My cat Bear. Best house pet ever.
What about your cat Raven?
Oh, my cat Raven is awesome. I love Raven. Just not as much as Bear. That's like, you know how like you have, of all your children, you have one child that's the favorite? Well, it's the same thing with cats, and Bear's my favorite. 30. And 30 is, it's from Mrs. Darks again. This is really uncanny today, guys. I'm going to go roll over here for just a second, just to give you some numbers here, to let you know that between Talvin and Mrs. Darks, the two of them have, 31 total entries. So between them, they own about, 15% of all of the stuff out here, and yet they're the only ones we're getting. So, they're pretty good. Alright, so anyway, what number was I at? I was at 30. There we go. And Mrs. Dark says, if you were the very model of a modern major general, about what information would you be teeming with a lot of news? A lot of news. I'm sure I've answered this before. And it would be mostly about, well, I mean, obviously, look, today it was prairie dog communication, and it was Chinese toilets, and it was, I mean, that's the stuff that I do. It's all nerd talk, but clearly, look, the planets in our solar system and the various dwarf planets and moons and all the other interesting spheroid objects that we have in our solar system, that would be the stuff that I would be most teeming with. But, you know, there's a lot of things on my list. Number 28 is from Ronster. Oh, there we go, back in familiar territory. And Ronster says, do you miss Borders or Hastings? Not much. I mean, you know, if I still need to go to a Barnes & Noble, I have them around. I mean, if I'm looking for a big bookstore with a coffee shop in it and all sorts of games and books and various media of that sort, it's all, I've got it available. I don't go very often. But, not much. I mean, look, I enjoyed it for the browsing, but you know, I can browse online just as easily. And I never did sit in them and, you know, enjoy reading in the bookstore and go get myself a coffee and all that stuff. I never did any of that. So, as much as I like giant bookstores or any bookstore for that matter, I'm all right. 73. And 73 is, it's from Ronster again. I think this is going to be our last one. Ronster says, hope is a strong motivator, but so is looming mortality. What would your dying wish, what would be your dying wish to see your progeny accomplish? It's okay. Saddle them with unnecessary guilt. Look, here's what I want for my kids. I want my kids to grow up to be good people. That is the number one thing that I want, is I want them to be good people. I would also very much like them to be happy. I would like them to be productive. But also, more than anything, good people. And I think a lot of other stuff will flow from being a good person. But, you know, circumstance can throw a lot at you. And hopefully by the time I'm gone, I will have raised them to have the tools they need to accomplish those things. That's what I'm hoping for. So, all right, my wife just reminded me also, yeah, you look, I would like them to bring me some grandkids someday. All right, I don't care how they get them. I mean, you can pick them up at the bus station, you can, you know, make them the old-fashioned way, design them, I don't care, whatever. But it would be nice to have some grandkids. And look, I'm not going to give away the name because I just not going to do that. But we've already picked out our grandparent names, and we think we've got our kids on board, or some of them at least, with these will be our grandparent names. So, you know, like when I grew up, my grandparents were Mimi and Jonesy on one side, and then Grand-Grand and Papa on the other side. And, you know, there's all sorts of good, you know, my wife grew up with boring families that everyone was just Grandma and Grandpa. Pfft, dull. And, but when it came time, my mom picked out her grandparent name, and she said she wanted to be Nana. She just really wanted to be Nana. And so she's Nana, and she's thrilled with it. And so we said, we were on our way to, my brother and his wife. It was their combined bachelorette party where basically we all just got together and went to the dog track and hung out for an evening and had a blast. But we were on our way there, and my mom said that she wanted to be Nana, because my wife was pregnant at the time. And so we said, well, geez, what about Dad? Dad, what are we going to call you? He says, well, Grandpa. I'm like, no, that's boring. We can't just call you Grandpa. We've got to come up with something. And so we decided, me and my brother, we were going to come up with the most embarrassing name we could possibly think of to call our dad. And, I mean, it was, you know, I'm sure Poopy was where we started from. But yeah, Poopy and Nana. And then it like kind of went every time, no matter what we suggest. He's like, or Grandpa. And we finally settled on Popo. And we thought Popo would be the most humiliating name he could possibly have. And he absolutely refused. He put his foot down. No, you are not calling me Popo. And look, we were kidding. All right. We were just making a joke, but it stuck. Like it's their fault because my mom and dad actually assumed we were serious and they picked it up and they were going to try and soften it or turn it into something else. But no, they wound up. It just wound up being Popo. And so now they're Nana and Popo, and that's just who they are. And it actually works really well, and that's how the kids know them. I can't imagine anything else. But interesting side note to that, if you play Super Smash Bros., the Ice Climbers from, I mean, Ice Climbers was a Super Nintendo game from way back, but the Ice Climbers are in some versions of Super Smash Bros., and if you read the actual manual for the game, the Ice Climbers' actual names are Nana and Popo, which we thought was hysterical. So, just by random coincidence. But anyway, but yeah, so we've picked out our names, and we're pretty good with those, so we're hoping it sticks. But, you know, we got a lot of years before we A, have grandkids, and B, have grandkids old enough to actually call us anything. So, yeah. So yeah, if any of them even decide to have kids at any point. So, no pressure at all, Aiden. So, no, I'm kidding. My wife's over there like, no, don't encourage him to go out and get someone pregnant right now. It's like, no, we're just saying, you know, eventually, someday, it'll happen. All right. I think that's where we're going to end this one. Anyway, it's time for GLaDOS. She's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is She Blinded Me with Science, as performed by William Shatner, Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, and Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write us a nice review, because those really make a difference. But I should actually just write this in here because I don't really care if you write me a nice review. You can write me a mean, terrible, awful review as long as you give it 5 stars because that's all they're looking at. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends because if you're enjoying it, you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me and Bicoastal Disorder. So awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Although 240 was really easy. That one came up right away. So maybe, and maybe it's just because it's a round number. Doesn't matter. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerd. Sign up, send me a message, and we'll hang out together, become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to the forums and Facebook, and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording. Anything you want to say, I will read it off at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right now. All right. First up, we're going to go out to Facebook. And on Facebook, I only got one response, because I had asked, describe an obsession you have had with a video game, over the years. And Kaz was my only response here. And Kaz says, there are two games I am obsessed with. I can't stop looting and shooting on Pandora in Borderlands 2. And every day I wish Cyberpunk 2077 was here. I am not familiar with either one. Sorry. So therefore I can't really comment. I wish Aiden was here because I'm sure he would have lots to say. But awesome. Let's see. And then, sorry, I gotta do all this on my phone. We got to my forums, and since Aiden's not here, we don't have the Platinum List members, but let me go out to the forums and find out. Aha, here we go. All right, first up, it's Kyle. And Kyle says, I'm having an Austin day, volunteering to give supplies and necessities to homeless, a brunch celebrating how we can make humanity suck less, a visit to a graffiti park, swimming in a cold spring, and now we're drinking beers and milkshakes while waiting for the bats to emerge from under the Congress Bridge. I know you love Nebraska, and I understand not liking the heat. It was 103 today. But I can definitely say that Austin is the center of the universe. Prove me wrong. Oh, yeah, no, this is easy. Ready? I live in Nebraska. Therefore, the center of the universe is here. Everything revolves around me. Yeah, see, that was easy. All right, next up is Talvin. Talvin says, every time I hear the song Stand By You by Rachel Platten, I think of Dothan, who was my bard character from Pathfinder, especially these lines, and love, if your wings are broken, borrow mine so yours can open too, because I'm going to stand by you. Aw, that is really sweet, Talvin. Thank you. I may have to have her sing that. That is really cool. All right, and then, let's see. Oh, this one's for my wife. This one says, it's also from Talvin. Talvin says, hey, Lisa. That's my wife's name as well. She's also known as Mrs. Talvin. So what's it like being married to a famous podcaster and nerd? I think she's referring to me. Hold on. Let's go to Lisa for her answer. Go.
Okay. As for him being a famous podcaster, that whole thing is just weird.
Super famous.
Really weird. Like when he goes to like Gen Con and talks about people coming up to talk to him that listen to his podcast, I just find that all strange.
Yeah, okay, me too.
But the thing that I find the most strange is I cannot stand to hear my own voice. Like when I hear my voice on the answering machine or anything like that. In fact, listening to this will drive me absolutely nuts.
Oh yeah, you can imagine how much this is going to drive her crazy. Just recording it, you can tell. It's shaking her, but that's okay.
And Mike listens to his own podcast over and over and over, and that is the part I find really strange.
Because I am so awesome. But yeah,
you are awesome.
See, exactly. Plus, I have to prove my own stuff. So.
And what was the second part?
Let's see. It was a famous podcaster and nerd.
Okay. The nerd thing is evolving for me because when Mike and I first met, I had not been exposed to your typical nerd things with quotes, typical.
Right.
So my family just didn't do those things. But then there were things that I enjoyed that you didn't do, like, or enjoy.
Right. No, that's true.
Going to plays and musicals and stuff
right,
like
musicals
that.
Yeah.
Weddings.
That's had never been to a wedding.
Funerals.
Well, and that, cause that was one of our rules when we were first married. We finally got tired of fighting over, trying to come up with what movie we were going to watch because you wind up going through this long thing. Well, what do you think about this one? Because no one wants to offend anybody else and you ultimately wind up coming up with a compromise that's just weak.
Or and you don't want to feel bad if you pick something out that you know the other person isn't going
right.
to like,
so,
but you still want to spend time together.
Exactly. And so it was, we just took turns. I'll pick a movie, and then next time you pick a movie. And it's we just take turns, and the rule is you're not allowed to complain about what the other person picks. You sit down, you go into it with an open mind, and then when you get to the end, yeah, you look. If you think it sucks, you can say it sucks. I mean, that's fine. But there's no complaining about it beforehand. Go into it, and it turns out that we found out that we really enjoy a lot of different things. There's a lot of stuff in documentaries and musicals and dramas, romantic comedies, things that I would never have picked out on my own. But I'm so glad that she did because I had a good time. So
I thought this was my question.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. The kids can tell you this is how I do.
Anyway, and I I found I like superheroes, and I had never done RPGs before, and I found that I really like them. So.
Yeah, and you're good at them, too. So, all right, very cool. See? Oh, my God. Good work, Talvin. You got her to actually show up on the podcast. You are the best, man. So, thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate it. Okay, she, I told you she was uncomfortable. She ran away from here so fast that she about killed herself tripping over chairs. We're in her classroom, about tripping over chairs and desks. Just, oh yeah, sure, it's my fault. trying to get away. So, but thank you. God, this is a great way to end this podcast. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this today. This has been wonderful. And I am so glad you guys came around to share this time with me. I love you guys. I will talk to you next week. It's been awesome. Say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, R2. We're out of here.